Well, our next story. Last week, the New South Wales Supreme Court refused to retry a man who police suspect murdered three Indigenous children in the New South Wales town of Bowraville 30 years ago. The 52-year-old, who can't be named for legal reasons, was previously acquitted at separate trials in 1994 and 2006 of murdering two of the children, 4-year-old Evelyn Grenup and 16-year-old Clinton Speedy Durow, in late 1990 and early 1991. Sydney University Professor David Hamer is an expert in the law of evidence. He's speaking here with Damien Carrick.
It seems that the police investigation was flawed. Initially, the police just treated this as a missing person case rather than anything suspicious, and so they didn't conduct a proper investigation at an early point, and quite a bit of evidence was lost. By the time they did get around to investigating it properly, that evidence had been lost, and they had a suspect who was the same suspect in each case. But they found it difficult to put a strong case together because of the flawed investigation. So there were trials in respect to the Clinton Speedy murder. There was a trial in 1994, which ended in acquittal. They actually wanted at that point to combine the trial in respect of the Clinton Speedy killing with the Evelyn Grenup killing. They wanted to combine them. This is relying upon propensity evidence, propensity reasoning. If they could try the two together, then that would make a stronger case against the defendant because the defendant was implicated in both offences, and it would be a bit of a coincidence if, you know, the defendant being implicated was innocent. So they wanted to try them together, but because at common law, propensity evidence is subject to strong exclusion, it's been relaxed under legislation and by courts in recent years, but back in the 90s, the exclusion operated quite strongly, and the trial judge wouldn't allow cross-admissibility and insisted that the two trials be held separately. So the evidence was weakened further, and both trials ended in acquittal, 1994 for the Clinton Speedy case, 2006 for the Evelyn Grenup case.
Okay, so then there was a podcast by journalist Dan Box. He's from The Australian, and that focused attention on this case. And then the Attorney General of New South Wales brought an application under the Crimes Appeal and Review Act 2001 that overturns this principle of double jeopardy and allows fresh prosecution if there is, quote, fresh and compelling evidence. And last week the court said, no, there's no fresh and compelling evidence, not enough to get us over the line here.
Yeah, so there was some newly discovered evidence, but there wasn't much. What the prosecution was, or the Attorney General was primarily arguing, was that because the admissibility of tenancy evidence has been opened up since the original trials, that under the current law, the evidence would be cross-admissible. It would be possible to hear the various charges together. In fact, the Attorney General would like to hear all three together in respect to the three missing children, and that because it's freshly admissible, that makes it fresh evidence, and it would also be compelling. So it would satisfy the requirement for the acquittals to be set aside.
But the idea of clustering them together in itself didn't constitute fresh and compelling evidence.
It isn't fresh because it was available back then.
David Hamer, what do you make of this decision?
Well, I think the court's interpretation of the legislation is probably correct, but I think it's very unfortunate that the whole point of these double jeopardy reforms is to recognise the interests that the community has in achieving justice. You know, we don't want murderers to go free and go unpunished just because something went wrong back at an earlier trial or because the evidence wasn't available then. The double jeopardy exceptions kind of rebalance the interests of the defendant against the interests of the community. Here, I think the Indigenous community of Bowraville had a very strong desire for justice, which has been deprived from them so far. Here was an opportunity to give it to them, and it wasn't provided.
Professor David Hamer speaking with Damien Carrick, and you can hear more of that, more about the Bowraville case, on the Law Report with Damien at 5:30 this afternoon, right here on RN, or of course wherever you get your podcasts, the ABC Listen app, or wherever.